Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we will hear from a special guest, George Noe, as we hear an encouraging message from the Chancellor of School of Urban Missions. Now here is George Noe.
Well, amen. Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Hey, that's a little better. Hard to hear you through the mask. Come on, somebody. Well, it truly is a privilege for me and an honor for me to be here this morning. I'm really excited. Pastor Noe has been just a great friend. He was one of the first individuals I ran into when I moved the college from, or opened our second campus from New Orleans to Oakland. And my wife and I enjoyed he and his wife and being a part of the church there. And then, of course, he helped with us to get SUM launched and moving forward. And the reason I always love working with Pastor Noe is just the idea that he's always been about mission. You know, that's the passion of his life. It's always been about wanting to raise up the next generation. And he was just a thrill to be a part of. And it's really good to be back with you. And I'm excited to be here this morning with all of you and see Brother Matt. Good to see him again. It's like you guys are taking everybody out of California, moving them up here, but it's okay. It's all right. I wouldn't say I'm not looking for the exit too. So, okay, you know, come on, somebody. I think there's a bunch of us looking for the exit lately. Well, this morning, I am going to share with you a little bit. I'm trying to see, though, I have a clock here. I want to make sure I don't go over time. I try to stick pretty close to the time schedules that are given to me. But I just want to say again this morning, thank you for allowing me to come. I feel like there's something the Lord's put in my heart that I want to share with you this morning. Truly excited about the partnership we have here now. This is, as Pastor Ray said, this has been a long time in coming. We're always thrilled when churches partner with SUM to bring theological education and train up men and women in their area, not only for this church, but this will be a beacon for men and women all over this area that would want to come and get trained for ministry. And God has sovereignly chosen this church and partnering with us, and it's just exciting for me. I was excited when I heard about it, that it's finally come to fruition, and I'm looking for great things to come from it. So this morning, I want to read it's going to be a very famous passage of scripture that we all know, but it's found in Numbers chapter 6. And it really is the, it's called the priestly blessing or the Aaronic blessing. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. Numbers chapter 6. Reading from verses 22 down through 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And he said, "So shall you place their name or give them, put his name of Israel on them, and I will bless them." So let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you're going to do in these few moments this morning. God, we look for the power, the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. I say this morning, God, hide me behind the cross. Allow your son, Jesus Christ, to be magnified in everything that is said and done this morning. And we just give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. When my son, tell you real quickly my story, just so you have a little background of who I am. I was 16 when my dad put a bullet in his head and died within my arms. I was flung to the streets, in and out of trouble, became a professional rock musician, developed a stomach ailment, had to get off the road, and went and studied at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music. And a guy shared Jesus Christ with me and changed my life forever. And I determined from that day forward, I was going to be a radical for Jesus. Come on, somebody. I don't know how you're anything other than being a radical. Come on. So that's a little bit about it, but my son, he's kind of more of the fame in the family. He fishes on the Bass Pro Tour, so I get to go fishing more than I probably care to, you know. But each one of my children, I have my son and I have my daughter. And when my son was born, the Lord gave me this word that the Lord is your confidence. And I would go in there and pray at his crib. And then as he grew up, I'd always pray. And my daughter was the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And how those two so spoke, those words so spoke, you know, to their situations in their life today is just amazing. Of course, my son, every time there's a tournament this week starting, you know, it's always about God. Chris, you realize the Lord is your confidence in the middle of this. Keep your trust where it needs. And the same thing with my daughter. But recently, 3 years ago, my daughter adopted an infant from a really struggling situation. Her name's Adeline, and she is definitely the joy of my heart. I always tell people when I had my Chris and Jen, I'd say, hey, you know, how many children does it take to go crazy? I said, it's got to be more than one. You need two, because one only gets you half crazy. Two of them will get you all the way there. And with Adeline, I always say, well, you know, how many grandchildren do you got to have before you go broke? Just one. That's all you need. I mean, she has just like stolen my heart away. She'll crawl up on me and say, Pop, I don't know why you have to go to work today. I'm going, that's it. You're right. That's God right there. I'm not going to work today. And I stay home and play with her all day. But when you look at this passage of scripture right here, and God gave me this, this passage of scripture is what I really felt God spoke over her life. So every time she's with me, I hold her, I'm rocking her, I put her to bed, whatever. I always pray this over her every day. And in 2019, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to unpackage it. And I knew that God said, when I open doors for you to go out and speak, I want you to speak this word. And I was like, okay. And it really just kind of, if you remember the beginning of the fall 2019-20, you get me, that's actually a school year, I really had no idea what God was saying for me, but I just knew that this was a word that he was saying, you need to get this down as you head into this year. So this is, it's the Moses, you know, it's the a blessing that he's supposed to speak out over the folks. And it's, again, Aaron and his sons, you find it Deuteronomy 10:8, where it says, stand before the Lord to minister to him and to bless. It's an act specific. It's the idea that we as the priests, we speak it, but God confers it upon them. But the powerful piece about this is that he's saying, before you head off into this incredibly dangerous journey, you get me? Many of them are going to lose, are going to die out there basically because of the lack of faith. Many of them are going to be—they're going to be assaulted by enemies. They're going to face various trials and temptations. You know, that's going to test their faith to the very core. And it's so powerful because here's God saying, before you ever leave on this journey, let me make one thing perfectly clear to you. My desire is to bless you. Wow. Think of that. It's like, okay, God, 2019, I'm starting out. Yeah, fall's going to be a great year. No, you're going to face some stuff this year, but let me remind you of one thing. My desire is to bless you. I have spoken that over you. Man, if the children of Israel would have actually adhered to that word or that thought. So when you look at this is a clause through the various clauses. The first clause is, you know, it's all about this movement towards God. The second clause is what actually happens on our behalf. And this, each one of them is building from 3 to 5 to 7 words. Then it gets into the letters 15, 20, 25. It's building from this kind of building up to this crescendo. It starts out with this little stream and ends with this idea. This little trickle to this full blessing, the idea of what we all desire, which is the peace of God. And they said that each one of the clauses begins with Yahweh, you know, the proper name for God, speaking about God's present act in salvation, you know, what he's able to do. You know, the children of Israel, of course, weren't able to say the name. They were to say the word Lord or Adonai, which means Lord. But this is God's personal proper name, his covenant name. It's what he spoke to Moses when he said, they know me as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but you're going to know me by Yahweh, my personal name. And he breathed it upon him. It's a personal blessing. So it's Yahweh Jireh, God will, you know, provide. Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. Yahweh Nisi, our banner over us. Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh, you know, the God that is the God of our peace. He's saying, I want to remind you as a congregation, you know, just who he is, what he has done, and what he promises to do for each and every one of us. So the God is the source of the blessing. Nothing that he doesn't give, come on, do we need? And what he does give is all we need. It would have been crazy if, you know, if they would have really grabbed the whole of that and understood that. So it's built out in these six verbs, and I'm going to move really quickly through them. The first one is the bless you. Some scholars feel it's collective, but it's really individual. The first petition is about blessing. The word barak out of the book of Genesis is really where you see this is heavily worded through there. Adam and Eve, the idea they'd be fruitful and multiply, to empower, to make productive, to cause, to prosper. So Abraham's life of productivity is where he gives him his son Isaac and then Jacob and Esau, the blessing that's put upon them. It's intangible, but it's also tangible. So for the Hebrew children, it always meant simple things like children, property, a safe land to live in, health and well-being, but more importantly, it was all about the nearness of God. And the concept, again, it indicates his care and that he's it's not some vague blessing, but it's got a specific purpose to it. The next verb is he'll keep you, that he's guarding you, he's protecting you. You know, it's what Adam was told, you know, to keep the garden. It's an idea that this God is attending to his covenant and keeping his covenant with his people. He's paying attention to it. You know, there's a part of it where, yes, we keep God's covenants, we watch, but there's a part of it where he's keeping us. Come on, somebody. We just ain't keeping ourselves. He's actually guarding. He's actually protecting us. When all of the world's forces, like we have seen as of late, you know, that are sailing against us, it's great to know that we serve a God that's out to keep us. And he talks about that he will make his face to shine upon us. And I know these two kind of get tied up with here and it also with he'll lift up his countenance, but they're really speaking of two different things. The first one speaks about God's light, that he's illuminating himself like the pillar of fire. You know, that's the same idea there. That same thing with Jonathan, where it said that it made his eyes brighten. The same thing with Ezra, where it says that it's God's favor caused his eyes to be brightened. Talks about this joyous benevolence that we have because of who God is speaking into us, is this favorable acceptance to us. In the Greek, it talks about, it talks about God revealing himself to us. And that's really what it's talking about. That make his face means that God is revealing himself. And whenever God reveals himself into your situation, how many know your situation changes? That's what we're asking for. And he says the next is to be gracious to you. You know, it's the idea of the disposition of just kindliness, that he's care. You know, he talked to Moses about grace and mercy. He said, I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. And the Hebrew word here is an elaborate, just kind of a wordplay. The idea that there's this God that's got this great abundant gift that he wants to give to us. At the same time, we are the neediest of needy people that need that gift. Amen. And so it's this, and it's nothing that we have done, that's what grace is all about, nothing we have done to deserve it, but God has given it to us. I remember one time when I was, when I first got saved 30, 40, whatever years ago it was, and I heard Kenneth Hagin Sr. on the radio, and they were asking to explain the difference between mercy and grace. He said, mercy's like if you get pulled over, you know, for speeding. And the police officer, you know, you tell him your story, and he lets you go. Because, you know, you did wrong, but he lets you go. He goes, that's mercy. He said, but when he calls you back over there and said, listen, here's $100 for a tank of gas and go get something to eat. He said, no, that's grace. It's taking mercy to the next step. And the next one is lift up his countenance. It's the idea to show special regard, to pay special attention to. You know, it carries a little bit further than what the other word speaks about. It talks about God's not only a smiling favor upon you, but that God wants to get involved in your situation. He wants to change what you're going through. It's not just that he's smiling upon you with favor, but he wants to get involved with it. That ultimately it leads to that final place, that place of peace, shalom. You know, kind of an area-centered word that talks about well-being, wholeness, completeness. So when you look at this benediction, you know, from it, the couched in these six verbs, bless, keep, make, you know, be gracious, lift up, and give you peace. It's just kind of an amazing thing that the way that God marks out his people is with a blessing, is with his presence. It's what separates, is what makes us different than any other folks running around. There's this thing that's called intertextuality, which is a rhetorical device that just says, hey, what you read in one place is kind of reiterated in another place. Well, that kind of, that, I want to go through a couple other passages just to reiterate kind of like what I was sharing on that first passage. But an example of that is Philippians 1:9. It says this, I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's just an echo of Job 13:16. Even this will turn out for my deliverance. So it's kind of that play there. So if you look over in Psalm 67, I want to read it quickly here. We'll go on and I'll share a little bit more with you on this. He said, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Let all the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge for the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Say, Lord, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So what happens in 67 here in this chapter, it is an echo of that you see in Numbers, but at the same time, it's carrying it to a further intent. It signals its purpose. And he says this, for the sake of, which again, thy way be made known, with the intention. And what's the intention here is that what? That it would become known to the people everywhere, that your ways be known in earth and your salvation to all nations. So the fresh insight of this passage gives us the idea that the favor, this blessing that God has put upon us, amen, is that God has stamped us that we would be a revelation to the nations, offering salvation to the world. Then, in other words, when we hear people say, we are blessed to be a blessing, that's what it's talking about, to all the ends of the earth. So it's this whole missional thrust is which characters, and we know that from Genesis to Revelation, God is on a mission of redemption. From the broken, the sinful will redeemed, he's out to restore. You see the triune God involved in this, in the redeeming and reconciling throughout history, motivated by his love to reach a world grounded in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, affirmed in the resurrection, made possible by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, by the means of grace, by which God justified man, delivers him from rebellion and death and all the other things that come with it. It speaks about God is a missionary God. Yeah. Amen? And everything God does is mission. So really in the church, mission and ministry are synonymous. The church, we do not exist to propagate our own life or our particular interests, but rather to serve the larger purpose of the missional God. Amen? Of the Trinity, of what God is doing. So in the church, again, like I said, what do we see? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do we see happening? We see this continually calling and sending, calling and sending, calling and sending. And that's what we are to be a part of. There's 8 billion people, they say by 2025, they'll be on the face of the earth. Nearly 2 billion, 30%, are completely unevangelized. 86% of Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims don't even know a single Christian. Or 75% of non-Africans have no idea or no contact with a Christian personally. It's the first time in our history that we stand at a place where we could see a billion soul harvest. SUM is praying into this. We're moving our students, believing in this worldwide. Because it's the first time, again, we're talking about 15 to 20% of the population. It's the first time where that a major portion of the world, a billion, is under the age of 20 years old. It's the first time that we've had this opportunity at this level to reach an entire world for Jesus Christ in a powerful way, that we can literally see a billion soul harvest. That's why I love, well, you know, what God has called, our goal with SUM is to bring affordable theological education to every place upon the face of the earth. That's how I want to train men and women wherever they are called. Right now, we're in India, we're in Ghana, we're in the Philippines, we're across the UK, New Zealand, Singapore, Australia, and then probably a myriad of other places. And I've taken kind of the Band-Aid off, and I told our team, I said, I don't care where the kid is, where the individual is, the man, the woman, wherever they are. If they need a theological education, I want it. And they feel called into ministry, I want to get them grounded and rooted. And we are going to accept students from any place. So this year, that's exactly what we have done. And we are, again, excited to be partnering with you in this church because it's always been the mission of your pastor. And from what I see, it's also the mission of this church. So it's just powerful to be here this morning. Again, the idea that this revelation that God has given to us, amen, that we've been blessed to be a blessing. That's what it's about. That we'd be a revelation to the nations. The other verse is Psalm 121, or chapter Psalm 121. It says this, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be removed. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He says, the Lord shall preserve thee going out and in thy coming in from this time forward, even forevermore. This is kind of one of those obscure phrases, but it's tied to the pilgrimages for the festivals each year. That's what they feel. There are these 15 songs of ascent, and this is one of them. But what's important here is when you look at here is the word keep just jumps out samar, just kind of jumps out at you over and over six times in here. He will keep you from your sub, you will not slumber. He will keep Israel. He will keep your, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and in your coming in. The idea here is basically another couple of those word pictures. The first one is that he's the divine escort in the middle of your journey. That he's going to keep, he's not going to allow your foot to slip, even though you feel like it is, or it may possibly happen. He is there as like this pilgrim's comfort. He's there to kind of come alongside as an escort to make sure that you know that that he's taking care of you day by day, minute by minute, addressing your needs. And that's when it gets that idea again. The benefit of the advisor is now and forevermore. But it's also the idea of a watchman. He's there to specifically protect you from any of the dangers of life. This is more like the idea of a security guard or something to that effect, that he's always there watching to ensure that he's protecting you, making sure that you are going to arrive at your final destination. It's just powerful, again, the word pictures there of the escort and the guard protecting throughout your entire journey. Now, this whole passage of when you look at the Aaronic blessing, the priestly blessing, it's also echoed over in the New Testament. It's in all of Paul's letters where you see the idea of grace, grace and peace. You start with grace, you always end up with peace. Come on. And so you see that in Jude. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, authority before all time and now and forevermore. Protestant Christians, we have always, next to probably the Lord's Prayer, this is probably the most known passage of Scripture in the Word, especially when it comes in the idea of prayers. 19th century, you know, the folks, they always felt like this was tied directly to the Trinity. Again, to the Father who keeps you, to the Son who's gracious to you, to the Holy Spirit who wants to give you peace. And the Scripture talks about in Luke 24, while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Most scholars believe when it talks about that he blessed them, he actually used this priestly blessing when he spoke it over the folks that night, over his disciples. And then it says this on the night in which he was betrayed. What does he do? He said, in this world you will have tribulation. Come on. In this world you will have tribulation, but I give you peace. Don't be afraid. I've overcome the world. Receive my peace. So here again, as we begin, same thing, as we begin this journey of faith, he speaks what? The same thing. I just want to make it straight that you have a good understanding. My desire is to bless you and to keep you at a place of peace no matter what craziness goes on around you. Just love that. So when you look at it, you just think of Christ in himself here because he experiences the total opposite. Rather than being kept, the Lord is going to unleash all the minions of, you know, or that's going to be cursed, the object of his cursing. And again, instead of receiving the Lord's blessing, he's going to be the object of the Lord's curse. Rather than being kept, the Lord is going to unleash all the minions of hell upon him. Rather than seeing the Father's delight shining on him, the Father's going to turn his face from him. Rather than knowing the gracious forgiveness of God, he's going to experience the fullness of the penalty and the total weight of sin. Amen. Rather than knowing the Father's eyes are on him, he's going to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then rather than knowing the total blessing of God, that whole idea of the peace, he's cast out of darkness. He did all that so you and I could walk in the blessing that we just spoke about. Just so powerful. So as I close out today, you know, this passage really, to me, speaks about our lives and where we are as we walk this out. You know, in this journey, our journey's long, man, especially this last year. Come on. This last year and the year before, a little bit of that, you know, it's been pretty crazy. You know, and it's been tough. It's been scary. It's been difficult. The trial, the temptation, all of what we've gone through. And I see it in every side. And I'm just like any person that's in ministry, the phone calls, you know, the people stopping by, all of them looking for words of encouragement. I don't know how you made it through the last year and a half without faith. Come on, somebody. I mean, it's been my faith that has anchored me in the middle of it. It's this word that I just spoke to is what anchored me in the middle of it when everything seemed to be coming loose, especially in higher education. I mean, higher education, and anybody that's in the school area, you know what we've gone through in the last year and a half. It's been just crazy. But in the middle, I always remind myself, no, wait a minute. God's already declared that my desire is to bless you. You know, so that's the piece that for me is just, I speak it over you this morning. That it's God's desire, you know, to bless you in this journey. He has spoken that over you. Yahweh commands it over you. That he wants to provide for you, he wants to take care of you. And it's not just the wealth, guys, of this world. It's the wealth of his presence being with you. It's his desire to keep you, to be your escort, to be your guardian. It's his desire to make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Amen. He wants to reveal who he is, all of who he is. Amen. That's why I always say to people, the thing I love so about it when we talk about God showing up, it's not like, well, guess what? 30% of God showed up today. No. Come on. When God shows up, 100% of God shows up. You know, you don't just get a part of God. He shows up completely. So, you know, so he makes his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The grace, again, that he came and tabernacled amongst men. Amen. The grace that we've experienced through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, though we were in sin, that Christ died for us. Amen. And made a way for you and I. It's just so powerful to think about that. And lift up his countenance on you, amen, and offer his peace. This is the passage that was so powerful to me because what it's saying is that he's not only wanting to show favor, but he wants to get involved in your mess. Come on. Has anybody got a little bit of mess in the house? I'm like, come on, Lord, I'm just inviting you into my mess. You know, did I want to come in? I'm not only looking, my favor's not only towards you, but I want to get in the middle with you. I want to bring about the change. I want to keep you at that place of peace. No matter what's going on around you, I want to keep you in the place. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans 8, 38 and 39. I'm going to pray for you. He said this, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, come on, nor things present, nor things that come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, come on, nor plagues, nor whatever, come on, can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Would you stand this morning and allow me just to speak that over you this morning? Can we just pray into that this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, let's just pray into it this morning. Let's believe it. Praise you, Jesus. We just thank you today. God, we thank you today. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you today, God. God, we declare it over your church and over your people today, God, that is your desire, God, to bless us, God, to reveal yourself unto us, God. God, it's your desire to keep us today, Father. We thank you that in the midst of all the craziness that's going on in this world, God, that you're able to keep your people. So, God, we thank you, God. We thank you that your favor, God, we declare it today, is resting upon us, upon your church today. We receive it. God, that your favor is upon us. God, that we walk in the grace that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm not summed up, God, by my failings or my discouragements. I'm summed up by your grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I invite you today to get involved in my mess. Reveal yourself, all of who you are. God, today I thank you for it. That God, when I get weak and I get tired, God, I cry out to you. Lord, step in the middle of my mess. When I'm struggling with my children, when I'm struggling with my finances, God, when I'm struggling on my job, God, get involved in my mess today. It's your desire, God. It's your desire to keep me at a place of peace. So God, I declare it today. I choose to walk in it today. That God, you have blessed me. You are keeping me. Your favor is upon me, God. I'm walking in your grace. You're looking down to get involved, God. And God, you're letting your peace. Peace is only you can give it. Let your peace, your shalom, God, settle upon your people today. Glory to your name, Jesus. God, lift the burdens today in the name of Jesus. Let the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, shine through, God. Hallelujah, God. You don't have any abandoned or forsaken children, God. You know exactly where each and every one of us are, God. You know exactly each and every one of our situations. Before the current trials and temptations that we're facing, you already declare that your desire to bless us before we even step foot in the middle of it. You are the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable. So things in this life, God, they may be up and down. I thank you today that you are the unchangeable God. You are the rock within our lives today. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Come on, just take a couple of minutes. Just worship him this morning. Glory to your name, Jesus. You are worthy this morning, God. You are worthy this morning, God. Let your peace rain down upon us today, God. Upon your children today, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God, for your peace. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Would you say thank you to Chancellor No for bringing this message this morning? Amen. Why don't you be seated just for a moment or two? I want to give you some instructions. And, my only wish for my friend George is that he would be a little bit more passionate. Just a little bit more passion. I love this man. I love the message today. We are blessed to be a blessing. And I love the vision of Chancellor No, who is dedicated his life and his energies to train us how to be a blessing to the world. And that's what the SUM and Portland Ministry College is all about. So I want to invite all of you who are interested, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or a student, right after the service back here in room 217. You can meet with Melanie and with our director of our particular school, this location here, Sherry Bernheisel, will be back there to answer questions, help you to fill out applications. And so please be a part of that. If you're watching online today and you wish you could be a part of it, we're going to show this at 3 o'clock, have a live stream of the same same opportunity. So tune in and we'll get you the information as well. Now that I've had you sit down, I want you to stand up again, okay? You need some exercise. And speaking of the Aaronic blessing, would you lift your hands to the Lord and allow me to pronounce that upon you? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And again, all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand. And we shall see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.